Buckle up, Buttercup, because we are diving headfirst into the swamp today.
The swampiest of swamps.
That's right, folks. This is Season 2, Episode 15 of the Daily DOGE Report, your one-stop shop for all things government efficiency, or the lack thereof.
And let me tell you, there is no shortage of material these days.
Nope, not at all. Today's Deep Dive is brought to you by the letters DOGE. The fine folks who are trying to make sense of the bureaucratic chaos. We've got agency takeovers, legal showdowns that would make Judge Judy blush, and contract cancellations that'll make you wonder, who signed off on this?
Plus a certain birthday wish for a certain tech mogul that's more of a takedown wish than a happy birthday.
Oh yeah, we're going there. And the best part is, you don't need to wade through mountains of reports and news articles to get to the good stuff.
We've done the dirty work for you. We've sifted through the mud and found the golden nuggets, the aha moments that make you say, oh, so that's what's really going on.
So sit back, relax, and let's break down the latest DOGE drama.
Let's do it.
First up, the DOGE paid a visit to the U.S. Institute of Peace, also known as USIP. But it wasn't exactly a friendly drop-by.
No, not exactly. Picture this. Following the White House's decision to remove the USIP president, DOGE officials decided to make their presence known at the headquarters.
Make their presence known is a very polite way of putting it. According to sources, they marched in there like they owned the place. Law enforcement in tow, the whole shebang.
It was a bold move, and it didn't sit well with everyone, particularly the members of the USIP board who had just been, well, fired. They filed a lawsuit faster than you can say executive overreach.
And boom, a federal judge, Judge Beryl Howe, steps into the ring. She didn't waste any time issuing a ruling.
She was not impressed.
Not at all.
Oh.
She straight up said she was offended by DOGE's strong arm tactics.
That's right. You know it's bad when a federal judge is publicly expressing offense at your methods.
But here's the kicker. Even though Judge Howe clearly wasn't happy with the way DOGE barged in there, she also expressed some serious doubts about whether the fired board members actually had a leg to stand on legally.
Right. And the reason for that is, well, USIP is kind of a weird duck in the world of Washington organizations.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break it down for me.
On the surface, they present themselves as this nice, nonpartisan charity, all about promoting peace and whatnot. But under the hood, they operate with many of the same features as a federal agency.
Really? So they're like a government-funded peace club?
Kinda, yeah. They're subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. They get their funding directly from Congress. And this is the big one. Their board members are nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate.
Okay, so they're like a hybrid creature. Mm. Part charity, part government agency. No wonder Judge Howe was hesitant to intervene right away.
Exactly. It's uncharted legal territory. And this whole USIP situation is just the tip of the iceberg. We're actually seeing a pattern of similar lawsuits popping up all over the place.
Really? Like where else?
Well, for starters, there are lawsuits against the U.S. African Development Foundation and USI, the Agency for International Development. Both of these organizations are also facing legal challenges related to personnel decisions and the soap of executive power.
So it's not just about USIP. This is part of a bigger power play.
Absolutely. And the driving force behind this whole push, none other than Elon Musk.
Ah, yes. The man, the myth, the meme lord himself. What's Elon up to now?
He's been spearheading this initiative for the Trump administration with the stated goal of shrinking the federal workforce. Basically, trimming the fat, as they say.
Okay, fair enough. Every government could probably use a little bit of streamlining. But it sounds like they're going beyond just cutting some redundant positions.
Oh, yeah. This is about much more than that. They're asserting a very broad interpretation of executive power. Their argument is that the president basically has the authority to fire almost anyone in the executive branch.
Whoa, hold on. That seems like a pretty sweeping power grab. What happens to all those agencies that Congress created if the president can just clean house whenever he wants?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's a question that's likely to end up in the Supreme Court's lap. This is a clash of the titans, the executive branch versus the legislative branch.
It's a constitutional showdown, and I wouldn't want to be the judge who has to rule on that one.
Yeah, that's a hot potato nobody wants to handle. But while all this legal wrangling is going on, DOGE hasn't been sitting idle. They've also been busy slashing contracts left and right.
Oh, yeah, the budget butchers have been hard at work. Give us the gory details.
DOGE released an update on their contract activities, and it's eye-opening. They've canceled 47 contracts, totaling a whopping $185 million in potential value.
$185 million. That's not pocket change. What kind of contracts are we talking about here?
Well, some of them are pretty head-scratching, let me tell you. One that jumps out is a $3.1 million contract for something called a Healthy Relationships Social Media Presence.
A healthy? Wait, what? Is the government running an online dating service now?
Your guess is as good as mine. It's not exactly clear what that money was supposed to be used for. Maybe it was some kind of public awareness campaign about healthy relationships.
Promoted on TikTok, no doubt.
Yeah.
Okay, what else got the axe?
Another big one was a $3.5 million contract for consultants.
Consultants for what exactly? Everyone in DC is a consultant.
This particular contract was for IT experts, cloud computing, software, hardware, all that jazz. They also wanted help with customer experience, data analysis, project management, and technical writing.
Sounds like they basically needed someone to run their whole operation.
Yeah, pretty much. But
Right.
apparently DOGE decided that 3.5 million was a bit steep for that level of handholding.
Fair enough. So it seems like DOGE is going after contracts that are either too vague, too expensive, or just plain unnecessary.
Exactly. They're looking for waste, fraud, and abuse. And they're not afraid to swing the budget axe.
Now, speaking of government and how much of it there is, did you see that statistic about the Code of Federal Regulations?
Oh, yeah, the CFR, the ultimate rule book.
It's apparently a whopping 98.68 million words long.
And it has 215,230 individual
Can
sections.
you even imagine? That's like trying to read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica, but with more legalese and fewer pictures.
It's mind-boggling. It just shows you the sheer scale of the federal government and how much it regulates every aspect of our lives.
It's enough to make your head spin,
Yeah.
but it also makes you wonder how much of that is really necessary and how much could be streamlined or eliminated altogether.
That's the big question, and that's what DOGE is trying to figure out.
Well, good luck to them. Now, let's move on to a topic that's a little more explosive. The reactions to Elon Musk and Tesla. Things are getting heated.
Yeah, the internet is a battlefield right now. You've got people passionately defending Musk and Tesla and others who are calling for their downfall.
And it's not just online chatter. It's spilling out into the real world with some pretty scary incidents.
That's right. There have been reports of Tesla dealerships being vandalized, cars being set on fire, even Molotov cocktails being thrown.
It's insane. Whatever happened to civil discourse?
I know, right? It's like people have forgotten how to disagree without resorting to violence.
So where do we even begin with this mess? Let's start with the folks who are sticking up for Musk and Tesla.
Okay, so on that side, you've got people like Congressman Ro Khanna. He's a Democrat from California, but he came out swinging in defense of Tesla.
Yeah, he wasn't mincing words. He condemned the violence
Yeah.
and pointed out that Tesla provides a lot of jobs in his district.
Right, 20,000 jobs to be exact. He also highlighted the company's positive contributions, like making electric vehicles in America and giving employees stock options.
So he's saying, hey, even if you don't like Musk, don't punish the workers and the economy.
Exactly. It's a reasonable argument. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got Representative Jasmine Crockett from Texas.
Oh boy. Buckle up for this one.
Crockett participated in a call to action organized by a group called Tesla Takedown. And let me tell you, these folks are not exactly known for their peaceful protests.
Understatement of the year. They're the ones behind a lot of those Tesla attacks we were just talking about.
Yeah. They're the ones lighting cars on fire and throwing Molotov cocktails. And Crockett was right there with them, egging them on.
Seriously. What did she say?
Well, according to reports and video footage, she said that her birthday is on March 29th and that her birthday wish was for Elon Musk to be taken down.
That's not exactly subtle.
No, it's not. And it's incredibly irresponsible coming from a member of Congress.
It's downright dangerous.
Yeah.
She's basically inciting violence against a private company and its CEO.
And it gets worse. Laura Loomer, the conservative activist, she got her hands on video of Crockett making these statements and released it to the public.
Oh man, that's not going to go over well.
Not at all. It sparked a huge backlash with people accusing Crockett of supporting domestic terrorism.
And let's not forget about Kevin O'Leary. He had some choice words for the Tesla burners, too.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Wonderful doesn't hold back. He basically told those folks they're going to rot in hell in prison.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Arson is a serious crime, and those cameras are everywhere these days.
Right. can't just torch someone's car and expect to get away with it, especially not a Tesla. Those things are like rolling surveillance systems.
So the message is clear. Don't mess with Teslas or Kevin O'Leary.
Or the law, for that matter.
And let's not forget about the 70,000 people who work for Tesla. These attacks aren't just hurting some faceless corporation, they're hurting real people.
That's a good point. It's easy to get caught up in the ideological battles and forget about the human cost.
Okay, moving on from the Tesla drama. There's been a lot of talk lately about politicians and their finances.
Ah, yes. The age-old question. How did they get so rich on a government salary?
It's a valid question. And some folks are calling for a closer look at the financial dealings of certain politicians, like Nancy Pelosi.
It's no secret that Pelosi has amassed a considerable fortune during her time in Congress. And some people are raising concerns about potential conflicts of interest and insider trading.
They want to know how she's managed to increase her net worth so dramatically, especially when you compare it to her congressional salary.
Transparency is key. The public has a right to know if their elected officials are using their positions for personal gain.
Speaking of government officials, President Trump has called for the impeachment of a certain judge.
Judge Boasberg. He's the chief judge of the District Court in Washington, D.C.
And what did he do to land in Trump's crosshairs?
Well, he halted the deportation of a group of alleged Venezuelan gang members. He used a really old law, the Enemy Aliens Act from 1798.
1798, that's going way back.
Yeah, it's a law that gives the president a lot of power over foreign nationals during times of war or invasion.
So Trump wasn't happy about Boasberg's ruling.
Not at all. He went on a Twitter rant calling Boasberg a radical left lunatic and demanding his impeachment.
Classic Trump. But Chief Justice John Roberts wasn't having it. He issued a statement defending Boasberg and the judiciary.
Yeah, Roberts basically said, look, you can't just impeach a judge because you disagree with his rulings. There's an appeals process for that.
It was a pretty clear rebuke. Roberts was basically saying, back off, Mr. President. The judiciary is independent.
So we've got a battle brewing between the executive branch and the judicial branch.
It's like a constitutional cage match.
And you know who else might be in the hot seat soon? Elon Musk. Congressman Glenn Ivey, a Democrat from Maryland, has threatened to subpoena him.
Subpoena him? What for?
The details are a little fuzzy, but it seems like they want to grill him about his business practices and his role in advising the Trump administration.
So it's basically a fishing expedition. They're hoping to find something, anything, to use against him.
That's how it seems. And a lot of people are scratching their heads, wondering why Democrats are so focused on going after Musk when there are so many other pressing issues.
Right, like what about the homeless veterans? Or the opioid crisis? Or the crumbling infrastructure?
It seems like they're more interested in scoring political points than actually solving problems.
It's all about power, isn't it?
Sadly, it often is.
Okay, let's move on to a different kind of swamp creature. The Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, or FMCS.
This is an agency that is just begging for a DOGE makeover.
Oh yeah, this one's a doozy. Where do we even begin?
Let's start with their former headquarters, a 9-story office building on K Street in the heart of DC.
Prime real estate. And how many people worked in this palace of bureaucracy?
60.
60 people in a 9-story building.
You heard that right. And it gets better. The walls were adorned with oil paintings of the employees themselves.
You can't make this stuff up.
And they also had a bunch of artwork purchased from the boss's wife. It was like a vanity project gone wild.
Talk about a conflict of interest.
And that's not all. The office was basically a luxury lounge. They had a gym, a smoking lounge, showers.
It sounds more like a spa than a government office.
Right. And then there's the top employee who was listed as being on a 6-year business trip to DC.
A 6-year business trip to the city where he already worked.
Yep. And the government was picking up the tab for his rent and meals.
This is outrageous.
And it gets worse. There were allegations of cronyism, with lucrative contracts being steered towards friends and family members.
Of course there were. What else is new?
And the purchase card abuse was rampant. Employees were buying jewelry, cell phones for their spouses, even cable TV for their vacation homes.
All on the government dime.
Yep. And get this, one guy even billed the government for a storage unit to keep photo albums of his dog.
His dog.
Seriously. And when investigators tried to raise concerns about this blatant corruption, they were fired.
So they were silencing the whistleblowers.
Exactly. The whole thing stinks to high heaven.
It's a textbook case of government waste, fraud, and abuse.
And it makes you wonder how many other agencies are just as bad or even worse. It's a scary thought. Now, let's talk about something a little more theoretical, but equally disturbing. the claim that there's a massive democratic propaganda machine operating behind the scenes.
This came up in a conversation between Joe Rogan and Mike Benz. They were talking about a so-called map of 55,000 NGOs.
NGOs, non-governmental organizations.
Yes. Rogan and Benz claim that these NGOs are part of a vast network that funnels taxpayer dollars to support democratic causes.
So it's like a shadow government working to undermine conservative values.
That's the gist of their argument. And they claim that this network has been operating under the radar for years.
But how did they uncover this secret cabal?
They use something called fractal AI. It's a sophisticated artificial intelligence system that can analyze complex data and reveal hidden connections.
So they're saying that AI has exposed the deep state.
Pretty much. And they even pointed to a specific example, the Black Voters Matter Fund. They claim that fractal AI revealed a whole web of subsidiary organizations that were previously unknown. And they're accusing these organizations of money laundering and embezzlement.
That's right. They're saying that taxpayer dollars are being siphoned off to enrich Democratic operatives and fund their political agenda.
It's a bold claim.
It is. And it's important to note that these are just allegations at this point.
Right. Innocent until proven guilty. But it's still a disturbing thought.
Absolutely. Now, for a completely different take on government corruption, let's hear from author Michael Lewis.
Michael Lewis.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote Moneyball.
Yeah.
And The Big Short.
The one and only. And he has a rather unconventional view on fraud. He says that it's actually far more likely to happen in the private sector than in the government.
Really? That's surprising.
I know, right? You'd think it would be the other way around. But Lewis argues that government employees are so risk averse that they wouldn't even take a turkey sandwich as a bribe.
That's hilarious. So he's saying that bureaucrats are too afraid of getting caught to be truly corrupt.
Basically, yeah. He thinks that the layers of oversight and regulation in the government act as a deterrent to fraud.
Interesting. So while the government might be inefficient and wasteful, it's not necessarily a hotbed of criminal activity.
That's Lewis's take anyway.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another wild week in the world of DOGE and government shenanigans. We've covered a lot of ground today, from agency shakeups and legal battles to budget cuts and explosive reactions to Elon Musk and Tesla. We've even delved into the murky world of alleged government waste and the shadowy realm of conspiracy theories.
It's been a whirlwind tour of the swamp, and it just goes to show that there's always something brewing beneath the surface.
And that, my friends, is why we do what we do. We dig deep, we connect the dots, and we bring you the truth no matter how messy it gets.
So stay tuned for our next deep dive.
Because the swamp never sleeps.
And neither do we.
So stay informed, stay engaged, and keep fighting the good fight.
We'll see you next time.
Peace out.